Welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we are doing episode 53. 53 after our year anniversary special.
The Godfather. I don't know if we're going to be able to top The Godfather.
Probably not, but we decided to do a series that would top it all off. It is April, and is, I do believe, E.E. Cummings would say. Was it E.E. Cummings?
I can't remember.
I think it's from The Wasteland. He said, April is the cruelest month.
April is the cruelest month.
So we decided that we were going to drop the deuce on some of the worst sequels ever to basically be cruel to ourselves.
Yeah. And lists vary a lot as far as what are the worst ones.
Yes. But the movie we're doing today has a tendency to be on all the lists.
Yeah.
I would say so.
Yeah,
this is probably one of the worst sequels ever made.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yes.
They, it finds itself on a lot of lists, and people, it became the butt of many jokes.
It really did. It became the butt of many jokes, which is, you know, strange. I guess because I really wanted a sequel to this movie.
Yeah.
When I first watched it.
Yeah, the original. Yeah.
The original movie. Of course, we are talking about Speed 2, Cruise Control.
Yes.
Yes, a little play on words there with Cruise Control. It is set entirely on a ship.
Yep.
Nothing says speed away like a ship, like a cruise ship.
Yep. And and the first one was so, I think, it struck a chord with people.
I think it was like that sleeper hit of the summer.
Yeah, it was like, it seemed just like your regular kind of action movie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they really went above and beyond with Speed, and it really launched a lot of careers, too. And,
yes.
And brought more people to the forefront or revitalized careers.
My aunt took me to go see Speed in the theater, and when we were leaving, I actually told her that there was going to be a sequel to this movie. I said, there has to be a sequel to this movie. And she goes, well, okay. And I said, here's what it's going to be. It's going to be, they're going to be on vacation. It's going to be Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock. They're on vacation. And she's on the back of like a boat. And like, she's like skiing, right? And the boat itself can't go past, you know, or can't go under 50, whatever. Miles an hour, or whatever a boat speed is, right?
Wait, so her ass was just going to be dragged around the whole time.
Right? Right? And it was going to be called Speedo.
Nice.
Yes. And I told her this, you know. So I got about half of that right.
Yeah.
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 I got the boat right and the Sandra Bullock being the damsel in distress.
Yeah.
Right. Everything else I got completely wrong. But, yeah.
You know. But before we get too far into this, you know, we just have some big news. We shared it on our Facebook, and we just want to make sure that we shared it here with all of you if you haven't seen it yet. But as of, well, I guess earlier this week, the Deuce are proud members of the No Phony Podcast Network. So we did join a network of podcasts. It's a great move for us because they give us a lot of support and we've learned from each other.
Yes.
And really build each other up as a team. It's been great interactions with them so far. Bradley and I are really enjoying it. And we think it's going to help us to bring.
What's their website?
It's nophonypodcast.com.
Right. And their featured podcast this month is Release the Clowns.
Sorry. It's nophonynetwork.com.
No Phony Network.
I'll learn it eventually.
Yeah, right. And their featured podcast is Release the Clowns, which is kind of a Monty Python-esque sketch podcast that I quite enjoy.
Yeah.
And it's very well produced. And yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, but if you go to nophonynetwork.com, you'll see all of the other podcasts that are involved in this as well. A lot of great and different type of programming
there. I love that there's different types of programs on this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is, it's kind of what we were looking for, too, because we've talked about before the opportunities of, well, hey, if a podcast, or if we could be part of a podcast network, what would we even want? And there's some that have movies, and there's some that have other things. We kind of debated, like, you know, where we'd be comfortable even joining with something. And when No Phony approached us, you know, it's kind of, they have a little of everything. And we love that. So,
yeah.
No, this has been a great move. We're really appreciative of them. You know, and we hope to hope it will only make your experience better.
But should we take a little bit of break?
Yeah.
Yeah. So after these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
If those clips made you wish for the good old days of television, I've got great news. Rabbit Ears is a new TV podcast inspired by the days of foil-covered television antennas, rainbow-barred screens, and the national anthem signaling the end of the day's broadcast. Each episode, we look back on a beloved show, ranging from the golden age of television to more modern classics. With the help of a superfan guest host, we'll review, discuss, and reminisce about some of the most culturally impactful shows ever to air on television. You can find us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter at Rabbit Ears TV Pod, like us on Facebook, and download episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podient. Thanks for listening.
And we're back.
And we're back.
And we're back.
And we're back. And we're back.
And we're back. All right.
Speed 2 came out. Speed 2 Cruise Control. I'm sorry. I didn't get the full title.
How dare you?
I got angry at myself for that. Speed 2 Cruise Control came out in 1997, 3 years after the first movie. Came out in 1994.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves does not reprise his role in this movie. He read the script, did not like it.
Weird.
The actually 20th Century Fox put out a press release. They were angry that he didn't do it. Instead, he did the movie The Devil's Advocate.
Mm-hmm.
But they put out a press release that basically he didn't want to do it because he was too busy touring with his band Dogstar. Yeah. So I don't know why they did that. Why that made a big deal about that.
Maybe they're trying to make fun of him. Maybe they heard Dogstar and were...
Yes. Yes. Maybe they did. Who knows? A couple other things. I think the William Dafoe character, the bad guy in here, was originally supposed to be... What's his bucket who won an Academy Award this year?
Gary Oldman.
But Gary Oldman passed to do the correct movie, which is Air Force One.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason Patrick... stars as I do believe his name is Alex. He's now the love interest of Sandra Bullock, and both of them are pretty much doing this movie for pay. Yeah, Sandra Bullock used the money to help produce the movie Hope Floats, and Jason Patrick used the money he made to produce the movie Friends and Neighbors or something like that.
Yeah.
Like a love Friends and Neighbors. Yeah, a little indie movie that Jason Patrick did. So, all right. I think it's time to drop the deuce.
Yeah. One other thing I think you told me earlier.
No, I think we should just need to drop it.
This was supposed to be Die Hard 3.
This was an original script for Die Hard 3, but when Speed 2 became popular, when Speed became popular.
There you go.
And not the drug, but when Speed became popular, the movie.
It might have been when the drug became popular.
It might have been.
Oh my gosh, you totally do Speed 2.
They changed the script into making a Speed 2 sequel. So this is a cash grab all around.
Yeah.
I mean.
But I'm glad that they didn't use this for the third Die Hard.
Oh, this would have been terrible.
Frankly, I love the third Die Hard.
Okay, well, that's your opinion.
The best. It's close as we get to a Riddler.
I think Riddler is the close we get to a Riddler, isn't it?
The Jim Carrey Riddler?
Not Jim Carrey, but just Riddler in general. You mean like as far as a movie is concerned?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, let's drop the deuce on Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Okay. Okay.
Shall we?
Yep. So the movie opens up. It has weird, like, they basically show you it's going to be on the water. They show, like, something speeding over water. And it slowly turns into road.
Mm-hmm.
And we see an ice cream truck or whatever, like, running for it. And a motorcycle starts chasing it down. And we see the motorcycle, which leaps off of the ramp, some ramp off in the woods onto the road, being driven by like a Asian stuntman.
Oh yeah, this stuntman for Jason Patrick doesn't look anything like him.
Looks nothing like him. And then we get a close-up shot of Jason Patrick riding the motorcycle,
like he's all cool.
And so
I'm Alex, I'm cool.
So he's, and this goes on forever. I mean, it does. It goes on for a long time. Chasing
sure.
around, doing yeah. whatever.
Meanwhile, it's cross-cut between Sandra Bullock taking her drive test.
Yeah. With Tim Conway.
I put, like, Dorf and Net drive test comedy show.
Dorf on driving.
Dorf on driving.
But the funny thing is, I was going to say, I love that car that she's got.
Oh, I love that car.
It's a Volkswagen thing.
I love that car.
It's a Volkswagen thing.
Thing? Is that what it's
thing.
Called?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I want one.
Well, okay, so it was, you know how in World War II they had Jeeps, and then Jeep became like a brand
sure,
that people
yeah.
like for you like outdoor vehicles. Mm-hmm. The thing is this basically the same, it's the equivalent, but with the Volkswagens, it was basically the a Jeep equivalent to what the Nazis drove in World War II.
What, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like those cars that they had. Well, because they still had...
I thought the car was cool.
Oh, it is. It is cool.
So it's called The Thing?
The Volkswagen Thing.
And in this movie, it's made played by Michael Chiklis.
But the floorboards in them were made of wood.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No wonder Tim Conway was scared during the whole movie.
They had one for sale here, like... At one point in time, I actually saw one, and I, like, begged my parents to buy it for me, and when I was in, like, I don't know, it was, like, my junior year of high school, and they declined to do
you
so.
And me like cars like that, though.
Yeah.
Like, kind of weird cars like
yeah.
that.
So she's taking her driver's test, and she is terrible. So this running joke just goes on for a while. But, of course, she drove the bus and everything. She
drove the bus fine, but she can't get her drive yeah. test.
Well, she gives us a little bit of expository dialogue here, too. So she talks about relationships, and she said her last boyfriend,
Jack,
so Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves, yeah.
And see, originally when I saw this, I thought it was supposed to be Jack. When I was a kid and I saw this movie.
Oh, like it's just a different actor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people never caught that. And then when she was saying this today, I was like, oh, right.
Right.
But yeah, so she says, Jack, like, you know, he's not romantic. He wasn't romantic and he wasn't whatever. She thought he brought her perfume. It was actually pepper spray.
A lot of people ended up pepper spray perfume confused.
And she ended up in the hospital. Now, this is a second movie where the second sequel with Sandra Bullock, where her love interest from the first movie just like disappears and does not even show up.
What's
in the
second
first? One. Miss Congeniality 2.
Oh, that's right.
Benjamin Bratt is just gone.
So we can assume that Sandra Bullock is easy to work with.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
And the same
go
thing.
Go back and watch and listen to that. James. That's our first episode.
Jesse James just disappeared on her, too. But she says that they broke up because, I can't remember. It's like a running phrase they use, but like relationships can't be, or like relationships born out of like conflict
like
or whatever.
Like tense situations.
Yeah. Don't work out. And so, but she said she met this other guy. He is a bike, or he's like a bike cop on the beach.
Evidently.
And so he's easy. He's, you know, he's just got this gentle job and all this stuff.
Is it Mario Lopez from Pacific Blue? Yep, that's right. I dropped that reference. USA Network's own Pacific Blue.
I would not have, but you know.
I know, I did it, so you didn't have to.
But it turns
out... No one
out,
wanted that.
Turns out, Alex is her boyfriend.
Right, Alex is a...
And Alex is Jason Patrick's character.
Right, but she thinks he's like a...
That's why I said she thinks
cop
he's a
beach
cop, yeah. Like he just patrols the beach, and he rides a bike around chasing people who, you know, forget their umbrellas or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Is that against the law to forget your umbrella?
No, but he's probably helping them. Being
okay.
Nice. They litter, and he, you know, attacks them on his bicycle.
Right.
Does
she say that she met him because she was jaywalking?
Yes. She was.
I think
was
he
doing
was just
jaywalking.
Trying to pick her up.
She was doing jaywalking with Jay Leno.
Am I waiting?
Well,
who's the president?
Judge Lancito. Anyway,
Oh God.
Come on, you want the dancing Eidos?
I don't, and I think he brought those back when he came back, right?
Really, the dancing Eidos?
Oh yeah,
gross. He's so terrible.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway, so through a series of unfortunate dwarf-related events, so the Alex ends up catching the bad guy, where he like, because he almost gets run off the road. Then he manages to get back over and like tackle the or get the driver to run his truck off the road. Oh, it's because he falls off his bike. Alex does. The bike slides under the truck and it flies off the road. So both people abandon ship and then they're just tumbling down this hill.
Can we mention that his boss is like radioing in his ear and it just happens to be the same boss that is in the first movie that Jack had. In the first movie. Can't think of the actor's name, but he plays Olivia Pope's dad on Scandal. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. He was in Terminator 2. He was in...
Yeah, and I think that's why you're like, isn't this just Jack? Because it's the same boss.
Yeah, it would
It seems very coincidental.
It's Joe Morton.
Yes, Joe Morton. But it seems very coincidental, right?
Yeah.
That she falls in love with... someone that's under this guy's wing. Come on.
Yeah, right. So, they are, basically they're cuffing the guy. They're taking him away. In the meantime, Sandra Bullock, or Annie, has taken some wrong turns on her driver's desk.
Including being in this movie.
Well, she's trying to, the cops are behind her. She's like, oh, no. And she's like trying to get out of their way, but she just keeps getting in their way. And they ask her to pull over, but she can't because she'll just go off the cliff. So she just keeps driving and she runs into a cop car. And that's when she sees Alex in his SWAT gear. And
what are you doing here?
Yeah. And that's when she realizes
unconvincingly tries to convince us that she cares about all this.
Yeah, right. And her performance is extremely flat.
Oh, it's phony.
And like Jason Patrick is just Jason Patrick, but like you know, his is at least semi emotive. Like she really does just phone it in. But she's upset because he lied to her. Saying he was a bike cop, and he says, well, look, you know, I hadn't told you what I did. We started dating, and then you start telling me about your ex, and I was like, if I tell her what I really do, I'm going to lose her, so he just never did.
That's what I wanted to happen during that scene. The chief go, Annie, is that you? And her go, oh, hey, how are, you know, they know each other from the first movie.
Yeah. Or just sad Keanu Reeves walk in the background with a flask and just.
Well, it's also like, is he still part of the force? And if not, if he is, I'm sure Alex knows him.
Yeah.
Because he's working with the same, you know, group of people.
Yeah.
Seems odd.
Right.
All this seems so stupid.
Yeah, agreed. So, Alex says, no, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. He's like, you know, it's because it's their anniversary, of course, just to make matters worse.
It's not their anniversary. It's their 7th month anniversary.
It's some anniversary.
She said 7th month anniversary because both of them have never had a relationship that has lasted this long.
An anniversary is an anniversary.
But what I'm saying is, like, how long did her and Jack then date? Long enough
less,
to get
less
have,
than seven
have, her,
months.
Have her get blinded by pepper spray.
Yeah.
So I guess.
So he surprises her with, he goes, look, tickets. I was going to surprise you with these tickets for Caribbean cruise.
Look like he had those tickets like stuffed in his like back pocket for like 4 weeks.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So you were on a high speed pursuit. Obviously, yeah. You can store your gear somewhere.
Right.
Like at the station or
you
wherever.
You obviously are not going to run into her on on call.
Excuse me. Yeah. And so, like, was there a need to bring the tickets with you? And obviously, like, because they've had the shit beat out of them now. Like, was it really necessary? I don't get, like, and that happens a lot in this movie. Where people have things with them where I'm like, why do you have that?
Why do you have it? Yeah.
So he just happens to have these tickets and he shows her. And she's like, I'm mad at you, but let's go.
And don't necessarily call them plot holes. Because in order to have plot holes,
you need
a plot. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, there's a plot. And they're going to bury this movie in it. So, we now cut to
Sandy Bullock.
During this whole thing, I don't know why, I just kept thinking Cool Rider, even though it has nothing to do with
that's
it.
That's not even Sandy for the first Grease movie.
I know it's not, but I couldn't get it out of my head. I don't know why.
He was like, riding a bike.
Maybe
it's
that's why.
Motorcycle. I don't know.
The motorcycle stuff reminded me of Mission Impossible 2.
It did. It reminded me of all that. Well, the whole thing did.
Yeah.
True fact, at this point, I put pointless.
I put birds. So they are on their getting ready to go on their cruise on the Seabourn Legend is the name of the boat.
Right. Seabourn Legend.
Yeah.
Kathy Lee. She endorsed this. No, she didn't. Was there a celebrity? No. If you could see me now out on the... Funship Cruise. I think Funship Cruise. Funship Cruise. Sunkissed Cruise?
Sunkissed?
Funship Cruise. Celebrity Cruise. Funship Cruise. Tom Cruise.
The Hover Round guy?
I don't know. Funship Cruise. I'm looking that up.
Okay, look it up.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway. So they board the ship as they're coming on. They are lined up there. There's another guy. Or I mean, there's lots of people around getting on board the boat. But it's them followed by this guy who we later find out is named Geiger. I think it's John Geiger. But who is played by Willem Dafoe.
In all of his hair glory.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like long haired, flowing in the wind. Bad.
Yeah, this is...
Enemy guy, Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, like when he's going full-on crazy face.
Right.
So, he's heading on board. Dante takes... There's a guy named Dante, who's a photographer. He's taking the pictures of everybody getting on board and selling prints to them.
On a carnival cruise. She's a carnival cruise.
Okay.
Yeah. But I swear she says Funship Cruise.
She probably does. But that's not the official name of the thing.
It's Carnival Cruise, but, you know. Maybe it's Fun Dip Cruise, where basically a bunch of people, just they give them that Fun Dip.
Yeah.
When you're younger, which is powder.
The Lick'em Sticks.
The Lick'em Sticks were terrible. Gross. Ugh.
Meanwhile, Hoda Kotb takes you on tours of the Staten Island Ferry.
Takes you on a wine cruise through her life.
Yeah.
Every morning on the Today Show.
So they get on board, and of course they're doing their normal, like, we're out and about, and we're, you know, doing cruise type stuff. So they're, like, at dinner at one point. They I think it's like the first night they do dinner. They, they're on the main deck.
Yeah, they're on the main deck.
And because... Annie is getting their drinks, and she's talking to Geiger.
Yeah.
Who just moments before was getting mad at the bursar for not, he's like, where are my golf clubs? You're supposed to have my golf clubs. I don't have them yet. He's like, I will bring them up in a moment once I'm done with these folks. And so he gets Annie and
right.
Alex all settled
and then
in.
Then Alex notices that if he's a golfer, he's not paying attention to the golf.
Yeah, later he notices because the guy's talking to Annie. He says,
Annie, are you okay?
Are you okay,
Annie?
you've been struck by a smooth criminal.
I wouldn't call him smooth criminal. I mean, come on.
No, he's ridiculous. For one person doing all of this, like,
right.
I get like a team of mercenaries, but like right. one person. Yeah.
Not enough golf balls in the world for that.
So he's like, well, he's obviously not a real golfer. He's not even like watching the Masters going on behind him. But Annie tells him to relax, and so they're going to dance. So they dance around. They, are having fun. Geiger, later we see him in his room, and he's messing around with some computer stuff. And so that's what we see at first. Then we go back to dinner.
Right. This is a great dinner scene because it introduces us to the other characters.
Yes.
Who will be on the ship when the ship goes crazy.
Yes.
And Jason Patrick flirts with a, 16-year-old deaf girl?
14.
Oh, I'm sorry, 14-year-old deaf girl. Yeah. You know, signing language to her.
And I actually thought this was kind of a sweet scene, so.
It's kind of a sweet scene.
There's other people there, like Mike Haggerty is there.
But come on, there's a deaf girl on the ship. We know that something bad's going to happen to that ship. She's going to be in danger somehow. You can smack us over the head with it already, would you? Just let's get going. Let's move this plot forward.
And
we already figured it out. I don't know why I'm so adamant about that, but this takes forever to get going.
So some other repeat offenders in this movie.
Sure.
There is one of the people on board named Alejandro.
Alejandro?
Yep, who is played by Enrique Murciano.
Sure.
Who was the FBI agent who helps out Sandra Bullock in Miss Congeniality 2.
Again, our first ever episode.
Yep. We also have Kimmy Robertson, who plays Eliza, who is the cruise director.
Not, as our friend Court from Cinema PsyOps would say, not Victoria Jackson.
Nope, not Victoria Jackson, thank God. But Kimmy Robertson was in...
Twin Peaks.
Yes, she was in Twin Peaks, but she was in Leprechaun
2. Oh, Leprechaun 2, yeah.
So we have some repeat offenders from our show. So they're at dinner, and then at the next table over, there is a young girl with her family, and we find out the girl is actually deaf because they see the parents signing to her. So across the way...
Well, they're signing because you forgot the best guest of them all, the best cameo in this movie, and that would be they're all listening to the smooth sounds of UB40.
They are listening to UB40.
And it's the wise men say. Oh, right. Isn't it that one?
Yeah.
Or one of them?
That, yeah.
I think it's a song from Sliver.
They sing that and then they keep coming back and doing an Enamorada over and over and over. That's like the...
And the girl's signing it with her parents. Which is a sweet scene, but whatever.
Yeah. But then he's kind of like...
But UB40 plays themselves.
Yeah, they do.
In this movie.
They do.
They're
tragically lost at sea.
Right. I'm like, throughout this whole movie, I'm like, what happened to you? Did UB40 not get off the boat? And that's why they haven't had a hit for years?
That's probably why.
That's why.
Hey, if you remember when UB40 had a hit, then UB40. So they're at dinner and so Alex is signing to this girl and she's obviously just taken with him because he says, you know, hi. You know, he's being nice. He's not being creepy.
No, he's just not being nice.
And, but she's like, is that your sister? And he's like, no, it's my girlfriend. And she's like, she's very beautiful. You'll have pretty kids. And of course, then they're like, oh, because they haven't really talked about anything like that. And so we find out that he has been waiting to propose to her. So he's got this little satchel with the ring in, and he's getting ready to take it out to propose there at dinner. And then they say something about marriage, and she kind of laughs it off, and she's like, oh, you're not serious. Okay, thank God, because she just isn't ready for that. But he's kind of gets the wind knocked out of his sails.
Yeah.
And he puts the ring back in his pocket, and then he's like, oh, I'm feeling seasick. And apparently they spend the night in the room with him just puking into a champagne.
Like, do you think it was seasickness, or do you think it was the fact that he remembered he was in this movie?
First one, then the other. He's like, why did I do a movie on a boat? Oh, God, why did I do Speed 2 Cruise Control? So while he was getting sick, aboard the ship, Geiger, again, Willem Dafoe, he is hacking into the ship's computer systems. And this is like, it goes on for a while. Like, he's going from, like, place to place.
Oh, yeah.
The heads from all the golf clubs are bombs.
Right.
The golf balls are, like, connection points, and there's, like, wires in the shafts, and, like, he brings in all this computer stuff through these golf clubs. And so he hooks up everything.
Who made these golf clubs? Arnold Bomber?
Correct.
I just thought of that joke. I didn't write that one down.
Geiger Woods.
Call him Geiger Woods.
Go ahead. So he's going around, and it's like he goes into engineering, and then he breaks like a little spout or like the sprinkler. And so steam is coming out, and so they're like, oh, no, and they run out there. While they're doing that, he goes and, like, wires up a bunch of stuff with the engines with nobody looking. And then, like, he stumbles his way onto the bridge, pretends he's drunk, and every time he falls, he's, like, flipping switches and sticking things wherever, and nobody notices.
Yeah,
and
then, no one notices.
He's just sneaking through all these.
Except us. We notice his overacting.
Yeah. And nobody notices, like, he's walking around with, like, a giant duffel bag. And an earpiece with, like, a cord coming out of it. Nobody thinks that's odd at all.
No one thinks it's odd that it's William Dafoe, because that man looks scary anyway.
Right.
Like, back in the day, he always looked like he was the bad guy of the movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? He was the Gary Oldman. It was like him and Gary Oldman always played bad guys.
Yeah. He's very Green Goblin-esque in this one.
Very Green Goblin-esque.
It comes up to the next day. Alex just leaves Annie hanging in the room. He goes out to clear his head after being embarrassed by doing some skeet shooting. So he's doing that. He runs into Annie. She's walking through the ship, and he's apologizing to her. He didn't mean to leave her there. He just had to get out for a little bit.
Right.
And so they end up going to, that night, they go to a dance thing.
Yes. There was something about the 80s, about the 90s, where they always would have like TV screens.
Yeah.
But there would be multiple TV screens.
It was like, it's like 16 screens with, where it's divided. But they'd
fill up the whole thing.
Yeah, that was like a special connection that you could hook up to.
Yeah, they're all listening to Delilah music, where it's all kind of soft rock.
Delilah.
Yacht rock, soft kind of rock.
Yeah. They're dancing and everything. Oh, at one point, too, the bursar, he goes in to change.
You couldn't get UB40 to do it again? Just play another show.
No, UB40 would... They were happy to go down with the ship. They... So the bursar goes in to change, the bed or make the bed in, Geiger's room.
Right.
And that's when he's like,
oh, called Geiger Woods. That was amazing.
To Geiger Woods' room. And he says, and Geiger's like, what are you doing in here? He's like, oh, you must have had your sign the wrong way. But, okay, gotta go. But he's seen all the stuff.
But he's like, I don't think you had your sign the wrong way, but you did have your sign the wrong way. Why'd you walk in?
Yeah, because he's a punk.
He's a Bedinsky.
Yeah, he is. So he's bucking for those good tips. So he gets knocked out and stored away. Let me run back one other thing. So we have a scene earlier where Willem Dafoe, he takes all this stuff out of his bag. He's got pills that he's taking and setting aside.
Please.
And then he's also got jars full of leeches.
Yes, lot of leeches.
Yeah, and he really is, I'm pretty sure. He's like, here, go to work, girls, whatever. And
he's really putting leeches on himself. I swear he is.
Oh, yeah.
He's the kind of person that would do that.
Yeah, he's going to put leeches on himself. Yeah.
True fact, did you know the leeches were also, they were named after 20th Century Fox film executives?
Were they really?
No.
Oh, God.
But it's a funny joke.
It is a funny joke. But he's obviously sick, but we don't really find out. I don't know if we find out through the entire film what's wrong with him.
No. No. Why would we?
At one point, he says something like, they filter out the excess copper in my blood.
Okay.
What did that? Like, I don't understand what's
were
wrong
you,
with you.
Were you a clockmaker?
Yeah.
Back in the day?
He said,
that's why you went insane?
Yeah.
Like S-Town, the podcast? Come on.
So while they're all dancing, Geiger is up on, like, the promenade, and as the captain is walking by, because the ship has gone a little off course, and the captain's walking by.
The ship has gone a little off course. The movie itself?
Way off course.
Way off course.
So he goes to, he sees a guy on the promenade, and the captain's like, wait, who are you?
Right.
And
he says, promenade?
Promenade.
Okay.
And so
I don't know ship terms, so.
Yeah, so he goes, he's just like, hey, it's me, man. Just regular
Will. The Green Goblin thing. Yeah. It's me.
Godspeed, Spider-Man.
Don't you know me? You fired me.
Yeah. I'm out, am I? basically, that's kind of what's happening. He's like, oh, it was okay for you to build your programs for this boat. But, like, when you didn't need me, I just get thrown away.
And you didn't do anything.
And the captain's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Right. And so he has, like, a lamp or, like, some sort of hook thing. And he basically has pinned the captain and hits him with it and keeps, like, hitting him in the chest.
I don't even know what that
thing
is.
Yeah. I thought it was, like, a lamp, but
it might have been.
But he pins him against, the rail with it, and then he eventually pushes the captain overboard, and he goes next to the boat and gets sucked under it. So, the captain is dead. And so,
I think he does. The captain should go down with the ship.
Yeah. That makes no sense. The ship isn't going down.
You haven't done anything to the ship yet. You moron.
Geiger starts the engines basically overloading. And so you see fire and you see whatever, and they're basically blowing. So one of the propellers blows out. The other one's okay. But then he simulates fire by releasing these, like, smoke cartridges or whatever in through the vents. And so they call for an evacuation of the ship. So Geiger gets a hold of the second in command, Giuliano, the first officer, Giuliano, played by... he is played by...
Jango Fett?
Yeah, the guy who played Jango Fett. Temuera Morrison?
Sure.
Temuera, I
think. You butchered it as well as I would have.
Temuera?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jango Fett. So he basically calls up Giuliano and is like, hey, I'm in charge of the ship. You get everybody off. And he's like, well, if we lower them in the lifeboats now, not everybody's, they're going to get ripped apart. He's like, in 3 minutes, I'm going to stop the ship. You have 15 minutes to get everybody off, and then we go again.
Like, he's done this all, like you said, all on his own. Like, I'm like, come on.
Yeah, there's nobody
no.
moving people along. There's nobody doing whatever. It's just him.
Yeah. He's magically got into, like, below deck and into their, you know, server.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on.
And so, basically, they go to evacuate everybody. Earlier, Drew, who is the deaf girl.
Deaf girl, yeah.
She gets mad because her dad says that, I don't know, she looks like a skank in her dress or whatever he says about her. He says she looks like a clown.
Yeah, the one that bought her. I mean,
yeah. Well, she had a jacket on over it. When she takes it off, she sees Alex, so she takes her jacket off.
Yeah.
And when she does, he's like, you look like a clown, the dad does.
Right.
So she's like, screw you. So she just wanders off. And so she's in an elevator when all this goes down and the power shuts off.
Right.
So she's trapped on there. So there's also people trying to get out of their cabins and the doors seal. So they can't get out either. So there's a few other people trapped down there. Like the cruise director and the guy from Overboard.
Right, like the people we know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
So, so they're all, people are trying to get to the lifeboats now, and they're getting them out of there. The last lifeboat, Drew's parents are holding things up because they're like, I know Drew is still on there. I got to get to her. So they're trying to get back on there for her. Annie is holding things up because she's trying to get Alex on there. Alex is like, hey, you know, something's wrong with that smoke. It smells like sulfur. It's not actually burning. It's like plain smoke. And that's when Giuliano's like, the guy said I only have this much time. And he goes, the guy? He's like, yeah, somebody's taking control of the ship and setting it on fire. And he's like, those aren't real fires.
Right.
Well, the ship starts moving again, which means the lifeboat now never made it into the water, the last one. And so Drew's mom is trying to get back on the ship, which makes it rock so that a couple people fall out the other side. Nicely done.
Right. Isn't one of them Dante, the photographer guy?
He doesn't fall out. There's a couple people who fall out into the water.
Oh, okay.
Just nondescript people. Dante is like, okay, because the winch is stuck on one side, so it won't
lower. That's right.
So Dante is like trying to get out there and get this rope and tie it so they can pull the boat back up. And he's almost fallen off. So Alex has to jump out there and save Dante. Meanwhile,
this is hard for Dante because he is taking pictures the whole time.
He pretty much is.
And trying to sell them.
Yeah, it's not a joke either. Dante really is like throughout the movies taking pictures at the most inopportune times.
Everything. Come on, Dante.
It is ridiculous. Come on, Dante.
I don't see the cruise ship director still doing her job. Why are you? Do you know what I mean? Come on, Dante.
Sandy, or God damn it, Annie.
It's okay. She was playing herself in this movie.
Annie is like, hey, let's use the gangplank. So they extend the gangplank so people can just walk right up.
Right.
So they get on board, or get back on the boat, and Alex realizes that it's Geiger who's controlling the ship, because he's seeing some stuff where he's like, wait, I know this, hold on. He figures out that it's Geiger, and so he's like, well, we have to do something. Let's grab some of these skeet guns.
Yeah.
Which is probably why they were doing that scene. To begin with, they had to establish that. So they go and get the guns.
I'm glad that you were trying to make something of this movie.
So, in the meantime, Drew. Let's talk about Drew. Like, there's a bunch of other people stuck somewhere. Now, Drew.
Deaf girl, can we talk about Drew?
Yeah. She has, in the meantime.
She's stuck in the elevator.
She's pushed the alarm button. She doesn't know if it's going off or not. But she pushes the alarm button. And she decides she's had enough waiting around, so she climbs out the top. And she's climbing up the elevator shaft.
Very, like, I don't know how she did that.
Oh, no, how was that? She, like, opened the doors. No, you're right. She climbed up the elevator shaft first. She put her hands and her feet out
Yeah. And then shimmied her way up.
Shimmied her way up. And so, because they showed earlier she was wearing tennis shoes.
Telling you. That girl is death-defying.
Excuse me. Yes, she is. So she shimmies her way up. And she manages to pry open the door so, like, you know, adults can't in that other corridor.
I know.
Still trapped in.
I know, but death-defying Drew.
Yeah, so she is getting up, and she's basically wandering around on, like, engineering decks at this point. While Alex and some of the crew are trying to track down Geiger, Annie and Dante here are, like, going below deck to find some other people because they hear some banging or some sounds, and they realize it's those other people who've been trapped.
It's the whole rest of the cast.
Yeah. For some unknown reason, more smoke starts going off in that hallway, though.
No one knows why.
It's not part of the story.
Nothing gets told why that happened.
Yeah. And so she's like, here, let's pry open the doors. And she and Dante can't get them open.
Block the smoke, they say.
Yeah. Right? And so they're taking off their clothes to cover the vents. And of course, they have one where it is. There's a gal. God, what was her name? Sherry Silver. I think she plays Sherry Silver.
Okay.
It's Tamia or whatever her name is.
Was she the one with the dress?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's like a singer.
Why
model
aren't you taking off the dress? Well, I'm not wearing
any underwear. And of course, as soon as she does that, the guy from Overboard is like, "Boo!"
The guy from Overboard.
I don't remember his name.
The guy with the mustache.
Mike Haggerty.
Haggerty.
He's like,
you know, his last name sounds what he is.
Haggerty?
Yeah, Haggerty. Yeah. Like, that's totally he. Like, if someone would be like, what's that guy's name? I'd be like, I don't know, but he looks haggard. Yeah, yeah. Correct. Mike Haggerty is his name. That's how he looks.
So Annie gives Dante this, like, hook thing that he should be able to pry between, like, the separators on the door to get it open. But instead, he takes the hook and he's like hooking the handle and he's like, it won't open.
But I'm like, this isn't Dante's strong point.
Obviously.
His strong point is taking pictures. Yeah, acting too as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's really not so doing.
So she goes and looks for something to get. So she finds a chainsaw.
Yeah, she goes into, like, a supply closet.
There are a lot of chainsaws on...
And there was... She goes, this'll do the trick, and pulls up this little chainsaw. She goes, no, wait, this will do the trick, and it's a bigger chainsaw. And so she goes
and... Yes, there's a chainsaws on ships, right? I just don't think of a ship having a chainsaw.
Yeah, I'm not sure why there would be.
Yeah.
In case of emergency, I suppose.
In case those trees that grow...
But would you really need more than one chainsaw?
Right.
So she takes the chainsaw and she starts sawing through the door.
Mm-hmm.
Now she doesn't like
magically too.
Like, yeah, she doesn't do it around the edge or anything like that. She's cutting like a hole out of the middle of the door.
I tell you, every time she's in like a situation, it's always like, okay, stand behind the door. I'm coming. Okay. Like, it's very phoned in.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's Sandra Bullock, like, okay, guys, I'm going to do this. Okay.
All right, I don't even know how you knew any of this stuff was going on, Jeremy, because at this point, the lights are flickering through this movie.
God.
There's noise going on. I can't hear any of the actors half the time. I can't see any of the movie half the time because it's like the director is just flicking the lights on and off.
Yes.
And like, go scream and grab something real quick.
Yeah. That's exactly.
It makes no sense. No sense at all.
Well, most movies either have like...
You can't see half of this movie.
No, you can't. Most movies have an area where things are flashing.
Yeah.
Or like you go into like a hallway and it's doing that, but in other rooms it's not. Or like you go in there and like it flashes for a little bit and then they stop it.
Well, this happens like one third of the movie.
This seriously goes on for a good portion of the movie. So she cuts like a hole in the middle of the door and she makes Dante kick it out. So he kicks out the hole, and she's like, come on through. But she's got, like, a chainsaw, like, right in their face still. And they're like, turn the chainsaw off? Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Come on through as she's sticking it through the hole.
Yeah, basically.
Right? Yeah.
And so she gets all of them. They get up there, and she's trying to figure out what's going on. Basically, at one point, they're like, well, we have to figure out how to slow down the ship. And so
they need to slow it down? I don't know. Set your movie on a ship anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's probably going to go really slow.
Well, Alex is like, you know, which of these is tied to the computers? And they're like, I don't know. And the guy's like, I'm just a navigator. Merced is like, yeah, just
Alex
a navigator.
Seems like he knows the ship like in and out.
No,
you're a beach cop.
He just starts smashing things with the butt of his gun. Like, when he doesn't know what it is.
Yeah.
And so they said, hey, what do we do if we open the ballast doors to let water in? That extra water, maybe that'll slow us down. And so he has him do it. He has him opening the doors. And as Alex is watching the monitor, he sees Drew just like wandering around the area. So now he's like,
was that who it was?
Yeah, that was Drew
wandering. I couldn't see because the lights were flickering off and on.
So he's like, I gotta go get her.
Oh,
so,
sorry.
Yeah, so Alex goes to save her, and he manages to get a hold of her right as the water comes rushing in. And Merced's trying to stop the water, but he's having some trouble. Eventually, he gets it to stop. But they escape, and Drew says, and of course he's interpreting. She said, "I just want you to know, if we make it out of this, I just want you to know, I love you, and I'll be 15 next month." And he was just like, oh, and like I get it. Like, yeah, I'm just like, but she's crushing on him. You know, he just saved her. And he's like, oh, you know, but relationships out of like this never work. Mm-hmm. Like out of this kind of like these bad situations never work out. He kind of tries to let her down gently. So they escape. They get up there, back to the parents.
She just gives them that one piece of sign language that everyone knows. The middle finger.
I think that's what they so did the, to
she gets
did
reunited.
The
she yeah. gets reunited with her parents.
And they say they're sorry for telling her that she looked like a clown. But this whole time this is happening, Geiger...
Is it bad that I was like, you look more like a mime instead of a clown? That's terrible. Sorry.
Terrible.
I didn't even mean to think that, but...
That's okay. Geiger, during all this, is robbing the jewelry store that they've paraded around in front of us a couple times now. And so he's just stealing all these giant diamonds that happen to be on this cruise ship.
Okay.
So... Is that what this was about? Like, I don't understand. Like, earlier he was like,
who knows?
You dropped me, revenge. And then he's like robbing them. I don't get it.
Jewels.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
So, is this supposed to, I'm overanalyzing. So Alex notices Geiger leaving the vault and holds him at gunpoint.
He only got half the jewels because he couldn't see the other half.
So, well, Geiger has all this. Now, this is the first time we see a new little thing. So Geiger is standing at the end of one hall. Alex is at the end of the other, and he has his gun. He holds up his arm, and it looks like he has like a power glove.
Like a Nintendo power glove thing, yeah. Where he's just like, boop, boop, boop.
He types in these commands on his arm.
Like the door closes?
Yeah, and the door closes. He has a thing just to close that door. And so, of course, Alex can't stop him.
You know, they have an app for that now. Where you can just do that.
On your arm?
Yeah. No, an app. To do all this stuff.
They do.
Like, maybe Geiger was way before his time.
Yes.
You don't know. Maybe that's exactly what this was about. It wasn't about Jules. It wasn't about revenge. It's about his new invention, the arm control thingamajigger. It has to be. No? I don't know.
At this point, so the doors close. Alex is chasing after him. He can't get through the door that Geiger's at, so he starts heading back the other way. And Geiger seals him in from the other side, too. And starts setting off some, like, little explosions that cause fires. So now he's trapped in this, like, shopping area that's burning up. So, Annie and
he's
Giuliano...
he's trapped in the ballroom thing, isn't he? Doesn't he shoot the televisions?
Oh, he did. He came through, like,
Geiger shows up on those televisions that we were talked about earlier. And so what does Alex do? He shoots the televisions.
Because he became televisions, obviously.
Oh, obviously. Obviously, Alex. You're a great cop that you realized, oh, not only did he grow in size and fill up a whole 7 televisions, but he then is in the television. Way to waste bullets. He does it twice.
It makes total sense. At this point, he is trapped inside of this whole shopping area. And Geiger has booby-trapped the door. Like, Alex can see there's a part of a wire around the side of the door. So, like, when he opens it, I guess it pulls the pin out of the grenade.
Yeah, it's sure.
On the door handle. So Annie and Giuliano find it, but they're like, no, 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 don't open the door. It's going to blow up. And so they're like, well, what do we do? And so Alex is like, can you read the numbers on the grenade to me? And she reads it to him. And normally when they do something like that, it's because a character in the movie's like, oh, that's this model that blah, 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 blah. She reads it to him and he goes, okay, it's a grenade. Clearly it's a grenade.
Clearly
dipshit.
It's a grenade.
Yeah, we all knew that.
Shit.
Even Annie knew that. And so
even Annie.
Yeah, and Giuliano's like, there's a pin in it still. And he's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. He's like, tie the trigger on the grenade to the body of it so that it can't come apart with like a shoelace or something. So she ties it to it so that it's not going to pop off and let the fuse start going. He's like, you're going to have to pull the pin. Now, every time, every movie, obviously I'm not, like, military trained, but every time I've seen this in a movie where it's got this kind of a booby trap, it's because the pin is tied to a wire that's, like, hooked to something. So when the door opens, the pin pulls out because it's tied to a fixed place.
Right.
I don't understand why... Basically, the pin is connected to a little wire that is just sitting through the door hinge.
Through the door.
Like, if he opens it, it's not going to pull the pin out.
Not really. Wouldn't it just drop?
Yeah, and maybe the pin would still be there.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And so, I have no clue what's going on with that, but...
No.
Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, if you know more about that, but they open the door... She has the grenade in her hands without the pin. And Giuliano's like, I'll take care of that. And so he grabs it. And that's the last we see of it.
Can I also mention that Sandra Bullock again is like, oh, what do we do?
I have the grenade in my hands.
I have the grenade in my hand. Blah, blah, blah. Like, thank God that Sandra Bullock is wearing a life preserver in this because she's floating through the whole movie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Floaters grab a life vest.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, also, I don't know what happens with a grenade. Like,
no.
You don't see him, like, there's no dramatic moment where he, like, flings it overboard and it blows up
you
midair.
That would be a scene in the movie, but you would figure that this movie wouldn't be on a boat either. But,
yeah.
You know, hey.
I like how he's just like, I'll just put this in a waste paper basket somewhere and just, like, set to the side.
Dip it up. Okay.
We'll save this for later. Never know when you need it.
Put that grenade aside for later. But never know when I'm going to get hungry.
He'll use it to fight the Jedis later. So now Alex is free. Geiger is wherever. At this point, the ship has started changing course. And it is headed directly.
It's like daytime now all of a sudden, too.
Yeah, it got to be more. Because they've been doing this all night. Because it was night the previous one.
It felt like we were watching this movie all night, too.
Which, this is also kind of confusing, because... So, they were at dinner, or they were, like, dancing after dinner the night before. Do you see the island in front of them, and it says it's, like, 6 hours away?
Yeah.
And so, 6 hours after that, when the kid is up and whatever else, like, it's been longer than 6 hours. I don't get it.
This, like, the whole ship wasn't even moving during the whole film. Until the end, when we saw it move.
Well, we know it is.
But it didn't feel like it.
Yeah. I love how it's just, like, cruising full speed ahead, too, but one of its propellers is blown out. Like,
yeah.
Probably would not be going as fast as all that.
No.
So, the crew notices that Geiger has set them on the course to crash with an oil tanker. Like, at first they think they're just going to crash into the island, then they start veering off towards this oil tanker who is not going to get out of the way, like... It would take them 30 minutes to get moving.
It feels like this movie is going on forever.
It is. Geiger has, like, plan after... Like, Geiger's plans, like, it's just one thing after another.
Ugh. How did he mastermind all this? And a bag of golf balls.
I don't know. Like, he must have just been playing this for, like, years.
He had to have.
And Geiger had talked about somewhere in here, too, where, like, he worked for the company who designed all the technology. And then when he got sick, his partners kicked him out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so this is his revenge on the shipping companies who he made the software for.
Right.
Even though they had nothing to do with any of that.
Nothing.
Yeah. But that's why he's after them, supposedly. So... now, to avoid collision with the oil tanker at this point.
The jewels were just a second thought.
Well, yeah, you know. See, that's, like, I could get it if he was like, since you guys wouldn't help me, I'm taking these jewels to get the treatment I need. But instead it's like I'm just getting revenge on you for treating me like crap.
Mm-hmm.
You could have done that just by blowing up the boat.
Yeah, pretty much.
So... Now, to avoid collision with this oil tanker, before this, they're like, well, we got to figure out how to slow the boat down.
Right, because it's not enough time to, like for the oil tanker to get out of the way.
Yeah, so they're going to have to slow down. So the first thing they try is getting a rope, like a cable, around the propeller on the boat, on the cruise ship.
Mm-hmm.
So Alex gets in the water, and so they're kind of lowering him in there, and they're holding him with a rope so he doesn't get sucked through the propeller. But they lower in another rope with a cable that will wrap around it. Well, it starts doing that, but they're trying to pull Alex out, and they realize, uh-oh, he's caught on the cables. Like, his cord got wrapped around it. So he's trying to get free.
Meanwhile, Geiger has caught on what's going on.
Because the boat starts slowing down. Because it's working.
Yeah. He finds them.
Well, he turns up the power.
Right.
And so it goes more full speed ahead, and the cable can't stop it from rotating.
But he goes and finds them.
Yeah, so, he does. Yeah. He's heading that direction. Well... the winch that was lowering at the cable can't hold on.
What'd
to
you
it
call
anymore.
Me?
Winch. And so it rips off and nearly misses Annie. Hits Giuliano in the arm, like breaks his arm,
mm-hmm.
and then goes under the water. And Alex completely avoids it. Now it hits propeller. This is a big piece of metal. Like, this is the size of. Like, half the size of a refrigerator. And it misses him, hits the propeller, But this giant metal thing doesn't damage the propeller at all. The propeller just chops it up and then keeps moving.
It's okay, Jeremy. Just, yeah.
Just roll with it?
Just roll with it.
Okay.
Speed through it, baby. We've already gone through this, man. It's all groovy.
So, Alex is in the water, and they're pulling him up. He almost gets out when Geiger shows up. Now, this is the first time, pretty sure it's like the first time in all this, that Geiger has a gun. Everything else has been him closing doors or like booby trapping things. I think it's the first time he legit has a gun on him.
Yeah.
And so
kidnaps.
Yeah, he Annie. Kidnaps her. And as they are heading in, they're heading into the marina. Excuse me, we're heading towards a boat. He grabs her and he's like, hey, I'm going to escape on this, like,
speedboat kind of thing?
Kind of. It's interesting. So, like, this was honestly, like, I was more intrigued by this than anything.
Yeah, well.
It was like, so I thought it was a speedboat at first. Later on, we see it's actually this thing where two jet skis. Thank you, are hooked to it. And
you can release one and yeah. set the other one off.
Yeah, or right? both.
But hey, let's not bring up the fact that we have these down below to get some of these people off the yeah. ship. Yeah.
Yeah, we could have. Screw those people. So all those people could have escaped?
Screw those people. We need that for a plot device.
So, so now they have this thing that they escape on, that Geiger and Annie get away on. Excuse me. So they're like, well,
I know this movie has choked you up. That's why you keep coughing.
It is. They're like, well, we got to slow this down. And they're like, well, what if we use the bow thrusters to try to turn us? Like, if we turn one of them on, it'll push us and start turning us away from it. Away from the oil
Morons,
tanker. That
you're
were...
thinking about this now. Well, how come you didn't think about it then?
Yeah. They could have had both of them go and just stopped it earlier. Yeah. But now they're trying to turn it. And so they have to go and they have to just manually crank them. And so Dante and Alex are taking turns turning these. They're both underwater. So they're taking turns doing this.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Annie and Geiger are speeding away on the boat.
Yeah.
On this boat thing. And she's tied up and he's got a gun. And
yeah.
She sees a release button and releases him. And he goes one direction. And then she kind of...
Yeah, it releases him out of, like, the little...
Right.
...thing. So they're separate. So she's speeding off in this, like...
Right.
...one jet ski powering... This thing is cool. Like, I want to ride on one of these. I think it'd be awesome.
I'm good. You can do that. I'm not going to.
Anyway, but... So she sees the ship turn, too, which is good. She sees them... They escape... Excuse me, like full-on collision. And so they get away from it. But the boat, like, scrapes against the entire side of the oil tanker.
The oil tanker, yes.
Now, the holes on ships, like, that might have done something into it. I mean, it's got to have structural damage.
Got to be something.
So you would think that water would be leaking in or something, but no, it's just like the paint scuff.
Oh, yeah. It's just like someone scraped your car.
Yeah.
You know, lightly scraped it with their own car. Not really that much damage. Don't worry about it.
So
they're like, oh, yes, we've been saved.
But they're heading straight into the marina.
So they're like, oh, shit. And yeah. then someone else says, oh, shit. And then someone else says, oh, shit. And then deaf girl, she signs, oh, shit.
Yeah. Everybody's saying, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And
meanwhile, I'm saying, oh, shit, we did this for our episode.
Truly is the cruelest month. So
this is nothing compared to what we have coming up.
Oh God!
As far as movies make
you. Oh boy. So now it crashes into the marina, and we'll spare you all the nitty gritty details. But suffice it to say, they first plow through a bunch of boats.
It slows it down, like these carcasses, dead carcasses of people.
Just yeah, they're really slowing our propellers. But they're moving forward, and I'm like, so all these people are just dying or what? Like, because you think it's just a bunch of comical, like they're jumping out of the way kind of things, but pretty sure.
But are they? Some people aren't.
Then they crash into the pier and keep driving forward, and then there's a bunch of like little comical, like a kid seeing it from the window and commenting on it.
There's a ship coming.
Yeah, and a little dog barking at it. And then, like, running down the pier away from it. And just garbage like that.
Yeah, garbage. Who's the guy that directed Independence Day?
Roland Emmerich?
Yeah, it's very Roland Emmerich-y.
It is Roland Emmerich-y. And so, like, or finally the boat stops. Because they'd also tried, like, dragging the anchors. And one of the first anchor gets ripped out.
Anchors
too
away.
Fast. The second one, it doesn't release all the way, so it's just kind of dragging it, hanging at the side of it.
And the third one released the clowns.
Oh.
See what I did there? You can find them on the No Phony Podcast Network.
Yes. Yes, they're one of our friends' podcasts.
We got it.
Yeah. No Phony Podcast Network. So
speaking of phony, though, let's go back to this movie. Phony.
So,
it in.
The dog... Now, it's run. You see this guy. He's come out of a store, and the boat is, like, almost going to hit his car, his new car, but doesn't. And the dog stands on the back of it and starts barking at the boat because he's going to chase it away or whatever. And then you see the guy kind of like, whew, it didn't crush my car. And then the anchor releases and smashes the inside of his car.
Ha ha, whatever.
And then the dog pops up because he survived and barks at things
more.
Can we
go back before they smashed? Remember we were watching it and that couple goes, this was supposed to be our honeymoon. And we're like, where the hell did that couple come from?
Yes.
Where were they on the boat? I don't remember them at all.
There's all these pairs of people. And then there's this one, she was like, this was supposed to be our honeymoon, and it's like zoomed in on them.
And I swear, who was that?
I swear she smiles then, and I was like, "What?" But yeah, we had no clue who the hell they were.
I don't know. She won a part on a movie or something.
That might be.
That's probably what it was.
Very well, maybe
she won the Diet Pepsi contest. You can be on Speed 2. Okay.
Was that this movie where that happened?
What?
Where there was a kid who won a thing? Maybe it was something else.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So, now the boat is stopped, and then it starts kind of tipping over, but it stops before it completely falls over. Alex runs to go save, Annie, and so he hijacks a speedboat. Oh, before that,
this movie's never ending.
So there was a guy, the guy in the first movie.
The never ending story is shorter than this.
There was a guy in the first movie who he gets his car commandeered by Keanu Reeves.
Right, in the first movie.
And like gets the door ripped off and whatever.
I bought a condo on this.
Yeah, Maurice, I think is his name.
Yeah.
Played by Glenn Plummer. So Maurice is like, he's like, the boat did what? I just bought a condo up there. And then Alex is like, I have to commandeer your boat.
Again?
Yeah. And so
he doesn't know. Don't be yelling at Jason Patrick.
He yells because Jason Patrick says he's with the LAPD. Right. Like that means something in, you know, the Caribbean. And so he's like, no. He goes, he's like, what? No,
you guys
did whatever to me before. And he goes, I'm still trying to deal with this. So Maurice is like, they're like, okay, we'll go find whoever. So he gets Maurice's spear gun, and they're chasing down. They're trying to go in the direction they think Annie went. Annie, in the meantime, has fired off some flare guns. Geiger is still chasing her. She fires off flare guns. Geiger manages to get onto her jet ski and direct it towards a seaplane that's sitting out there waiting for him. How that got out there waiting for him, who knows?
Roll with it, Jeremy.
Yeah.
We've gotten this far. We're almost there.
And so so he's like, all right, here it is. Let's go. And so they're just running up there. Alex grabs Maurice's spear gun, shoots the plane with it, and manages to drag himself up to the plane through, like, you know, basically getting pummeled with water. As the plane is picking up speed. And at this point, Geiger has beaten the hell out of Annie because she's trying to fight him to get away. So he just starts smacking her and hitting her and everything. I don't know why he needs her exactly. I mean, why would you not just get rid of her and get away?
You don't need her.
Yeah, but no, he's holding on to her. And so at one point, she throws the jewels, like his bag, out of the plane. Oh, yeah, he was a jewel thief. I forgot.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for reminding us.
Yeah. So she throws it out of the plane, and he's just like, fine, I don't need it anyway. So they just keep going. Jason Patrick gets up there. He grabs her.
Oh, we're almost done.
They kick off one of the pontoons off the plane.
Keep going. We're almost done.
And it lands in the water, and they just are riding this pontoon around like it's self-propelled somehow.
There it goes. Keep going.
So he almost hits the side of that oil tanker. Like, you didn't see that was there?
We're almost there.
He hits the side of the oil tanker, or it seems like he's going to. But he pulls up, and he just hits part of the rig.
So much stupid plot.
And so Maurice, for like the next 10 minutes, is like, it's gonna blow, it's gonna blow, we gotta get out of here, it's gonna blow, it's gonna blow.
We get it, Maurice, it's gonna blow.
So they release lifeboats on the oil tanker. All the oil tanker folks get out. Maurice and his lady, and then Annie and Alex, they all take off. Willem Dafoe is laughing like he's insane.
Yeah.
Because he survived. I think that's why he's laughing. But you can see his plane is leaking fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Something sparks in his cockpit. And when it does, all the fuel starts up. And the entire oil tanker, like, blows up from one end to the other. Like, this giant
explosion.
You suck
my oil tanker.
It's a ridiculous explosion.
It's pretty ridiculous. But this movie had to end that way. Come on.
Yeah.
With just this. This is just, I don't know.
And so they're driving away, and it's...
That's the end of it, right?
No.
No?
No. Well, no? Maurice goes, hey, look what I found in international waters.
Oh, yeah.
It's the jewels, which apparently they're going to let him keep.
Evidently.
It's
not a crime scene investigation.
Yeah, so he picks them up. Alex proposes to Annie.
Well, that's right.
And she says yes.
We're almost there.
Now, keep in mind, Alex has now been dragged underwater,
mm-hmm.
like, by the propeller.
Mm-hmm.
He has been in several explosions. He's been all over this boat. He's been dragged through the water by a seaplane.
Harassed by a 15-year-old deaf girl.
Correct. And he's been in the water that came into the ballast room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's basically been thrown all over. But that ring has stayed in his pocket the whole freaking time.
I said roll with it, Jeremy, didn't I?
So it stayed with him the entire time.
Of course.
And then she proposes. She says yes.
The end, right?
Oh,
we're done.
It seems like it's the end.
Oh, my God. But it's not
but
the end.
But then it's a stinger.
Oh, my God. There's a stinger. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so
just what this movie needs.
She's back in her Volkswagen thing.
Oh, yeah. There's Dorf.
And
Tim
Dorf,
Conway.
She requests Dorf again as her driving instructor.
No one requests Dorf.
Everybody was requesting Dorf.
Back in the day.
Yeah. So they request Dorf. And she's like, I want to show you that I can really do this. And he's like, okay, fine. And so they start driving. She peels out from the parking spot. And he's like, oh, God, just take a left here. She goes to take a left, and she almost gets hit by a bus. She was like, that bus was moving way too fast. Because I think they're like, oh, my God, please remind people that this used to be part of
yeah.
a franchise they liked.
Yeah. Please remind people that this used to be part of a good movie.
Yeah, basically.
The end.
Yeah, and then it sounds like she gets hit in traffic or there's some sort of an accident or whatever.
Kind of sounds like she gets off screen.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was. And then the end.
Then the end.
Ugh. You have been deuced and have never been more excited that we've been deuced.
Yeah, that's true.
This movie has a 3% on Rotten Tomato, a 3.6% or 3.6 out of 10 on IMDb, and it's giving me heartburn.
Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we thought of it, but let's hear what other people thought of it, shall we?
Yep.
This person gives it a 2 out of 10 and said, Speed 2 lost control. They are a la 2001. And they say, nah, it just ain't worth watching or renting. Why? Well, let's just say it didn't live up to the first one. It wasn't very fast-paced or exciting. It was very predictable. And it's mostly them on a boat trying to get everyone out because it's out of control. It lost most of the elements of the first one had. It didn't have the speed theme. And it was mostly a boat out of control. How? Someone just hacked it, and then it went. It wasn't on the threat of a terrorist. There wasn't a threat of a bomb explosion. And it wasn't even sinking. Where's the excitement? The movie doesn't even deserve to be called Speed because there was nothing about speed in it. Sure, it had Sandra Bullock in it, but Keanu Reeves was missing. If you want to see a movie about a boat out of control, just watch Titanic. Well, okay. Yeah. Well, that's great, but whatever. This person gave it a 10 out of 10 and says, fun. And their name is Cupid Killer 666. Now, if you're going to take someone by the a movie reviewer by the name of Cupid Killer 666 serious, then you're a moron as well.
Well, just so everyone is clear, this is Jason Patrick's screen name. So,
they say, I don't know why people hate this movie so much. It's a fun, explosive time. It may not be as good as the original, but it's still better than most sequels, spelled with an I. Sure, some of the situations may not be believable. That's how they pronounced it. Sorry. Chainsaw and dragging a few feet away from the propeller. But that's what makes action movies so fun. I love Sandra Bullock, so this movie couldn't suffer too bad. She did have some good laughs at me at the opening scene, especially with the pepper spray line. The special effects were really good since it had a $110 million budget. Ugh. The ending action was great, so I would recommend this movie for anyone who wants to have a good time. Just turn off your brain. Now, let me tell you, Cupid Killer 666, I did turn off my brain, but not the way you want it.
Yeah, but turning off your brain should not be like a prerequisite for enjoying a movie.
Oh, no, it shouldn't be at all.
You shouldn't be like, well, it's good if you kill all your internal everything.
If you don't want to think about something, I get that. But, like, yeah, this is not turning off your brain. I think we should go through our five questions, shall we?
So let's start off with what was your favorite part of this movie?
Both Jason Patrick and Sandra Bullock were very much phoning it in.
Yeah.
In this movie, you can just see it.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole movie, especially Sandra Bullock. Felt like she did not want to be in this movie at all. So having said that, even though this is really hard. I want to say William Dafoe, even though William Dafoe wasn't phoning it in and he was actually overacting, at least he was trying to make something of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I want to say that. And I also want to say that kudos for whoever put like a deaf character in a movie.
Agreed.
Like, I'm like, okay. Like, and that doesn't need to be a deaf girl.
It wasn't like super gimmicky. It wasn't like it wasn't like your deafness is a plot point.
Right. You just had her in there.
Yeah.
So that's probably what I can get from this movie. I cannot get a lot of this movie, but that's what I got out of it.
Similarly, my favorite parts were the interaction with the deaf girl.
Yeah.
Because it honestly felt like that was the scenes with her are where Jason Patrick wasn't phoning it in.
I believe so, too.
And it actually made his character, like, I liked his character when he was, so he's signing to her, and Annie was like, well, how did you know how to do that? And he goes, I wanted to learn another language, so I chose sign language.
I wanted to go on Twitter and ask Jason Patrick if he still knows sign language.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I did.
But to me, that's interesting. Like, I was like, oh. So it gave him this depth to the character. And even when the girl was like, I love you, and he's just like, it wouldn't work out, you know, like whatever it was. But it was that he did it in a sweet, nice way. And I was like, okay, like I got a better feeling about Alex as a character. He wasn't just like, I'm SWAT team, shoot him up.
I might be too hard on Jason Patrick in this movie. I think out of the two leads,
yeah,
he's the better of them.
I agree.
It's also Jason Patrick being Jason Patrick.
Agreed.
But when that works, it works, I guess. Yeah. I mean, he's not bad in Wayward Pines.
See, Jason Patrick.
Just Jason Patrick.
He built so much of his career on being kind of these like smarmy or like very buttoned down characters. But when he's not being those characters, when I like him the most. So I'm not a big Jason Patrick fan, but when he deviates from what he normally does, that's when I like him the most.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So, would you reboot, continue, or cancel the series?
I don't think that I want anything more to do with this. I'm done.
Okay.
You?
I say continue, honestly.
How?
I don't know. I don't know. That's not for me to decide.
Yeah, it is. You're the one that said you wanted to continue. Go.
Well,
I
don't know what I would do. So
write
like,
the script right
obviously,
now.
Like, flying is ridiculous.
They originally wanted to do where it would be, like, where the plane could only, it couldn't drop so far down.
It would be called elevation?
I don't know. Okay. Instead of speed, it's elevation. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. Like, that's what they originally wanted, but they didn't do that. They did the ship route instead, so.
Well, and the plane one, to me, that's kind of overdone. Like, the plane that can't stop flying or whatever it is. Like, it'd almost be cool with, like, subway systems or something like that where all the subway cars were going and, like, you know, like, they eventually would all... You know, they were missing each other perfectly right now, but eventually they'd collide or a merry-go-round that won't stop. There's a bunch of kids trapped on it.
Speed 3, merry-go-round. Catch the brass ring.
Or one where Annie goes into space. and she just spins around through space for a while.
Spins around through space. Or one where she adopts a black kid.
Yeah. Teaches them how to play
football. Oh, that's her real life. She actually did.
You're not talking about The Blind Side?
No, in real life, she did. Yeah. You know that, right, Sandra Bullock? Yeah. She got really excited about Black Panther, the movie Black Panther.
Yeah.
And so she invited like the cast of like some of the cast of Black Panther to meet her son because her son was so excited because he got to see something that was representative. Yeah, no, so kudos, Sandra Bullock. Yeah.
I don't mind Sandra Bullock.
In certain things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. By the way, The Net is incredibly outdated. So, but I love that movie when I was
While
young.
You Were Sleeping is a good movie. I mean,
That's a good movie. She's good when she's being, like, charming. Do you think this movie stands on its own?
It's all on a boat. I don't see how it doesn't. I don't think you really... I think she tells you why she broke up with her first boyfriend.
But there's no, like, key plot points involving...
Right.
Whatever his name was.
Not at all. It's not like William Dafoe's character is, like, the son of Dennis Hopper's character.
Right. Yeah.
There's nothing that ties it.
This is generally a separate movie.
The only thing that could tie it together is at the end when he takes the boat of the guy... That we take
now. That's a bonus. But if you didn't know that guy was in the gag in the first one, it wouldn't be
no.
Yeah,
no. In fact, it's kind of pointless here.
Yeah, and so I think it's generic enough as far as what they describe that like
yeah
those things connect it. But I think it stands on its own. Without
I think so too. With his wobbly legs.
Yeah. Does this make you want to watch the first one?
No.
Really?
Nope.
It makes me want to watch the first one.
Why?
because I want to remember why we enjoyed the first
but
one.
But I've said that. I've said that before on this podcast. And you're like, that's not a reason why you should do that. And I'm like,
What? I don't remember that.
I have said that many times on this podcast. I'm like, well, I would watch it because I don't want this.
Well, not because does you don't want movie, this to be the last.
Does this movie itself make you want to watch the first one?
So I will say it's been a long time since I've seen
it
Speed.
Doesn't. If I never saw the first one,
yeah.
Does this movie make me want to go, hey, let's watch the first one?
Yeah, no, you're correct. If I'm just taking that into context, because mm-hmm. if I had never seen the first one, this one wouldn't make me want to watch
not
the first
at all.
One. You're right. You're correct.
Having said that, I'll watch the first one.
Yeah.
I think it's a fun thrill ride.
Yeah. Two words. Sum up your experience in two words.
My two words are, oh shit. Go ahead. What's your two words?
Sinking ship.
Both of those are correct. I don't think we need to tell you why. Yeah. So where can people find us, Jeremy? You've been deuced on.
You've been deuced.
53.
So.
People can find us.
So you can find us at numerous places.
Numerous places.
So you can find us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com.
Podbean?
Podbean.
Oh, I thought you were like PonziScheme.com.
Yeah, that Ponzi scheme.
Go ahead and send us some money
if you listen to our episode, send us $5, and then we'll put you in charge of some other people who listen to it.
Yeah.
So thedeucepodcast.podbean.com. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Make sure that you go out there and rate us if you can. Also, you can go to our Facebook page. We do a lot communicating through there, and we'll talk. We'll put up surveys. Sometimes we'll do things about we'll do listeners' choices, so make sure you go out there and vote. You can also find us at on Twitter at Deuce Podcast, or at the Deuce Podcast. So. And also, as we stated before, we are now proud members of the No Phony Podcast.
No
Network.
Phony Podcast.
And so you can go to
we no phonies.
you can go to nophonynetwork.com to see our show and many others.
They have a Twitter account too.
And they also have a Twitter account. It's at phony no.
Do you want to tell a couple of people what are the other ones besides Release the Clowns that are on there?
Yeah.
There's Know Your Own Draft podcast. I really enjoy that one.
The Know Your Draft podcast.
Know Your Draft podcast. Just started listening to them. Love them. Hope we can guest on theirs.
Release the Clowns, which is more of a sketch show.
Yes.
They're out of England. Know Your Draft is out of Japan, I believe.
Yeah, I think he lives in Japan. Yeah correct.
There's Politics with Dummies. With J-Ray and Loop Dog.
Mm-hmm.
And many others, too. So
Punk Rock and Politics?
Yes.
What? Punk Rock and Politics?
Right up our alley.
I'm all about that.
So we'll try to talk about some more of these podcasts, too, as we go on. And hopefully we'll get some promos from them up here as well. So, but yeah, make sure you go out there. And again, it's nophonynetwork.com. Go out there, take a listen. Lots of good options out there, and you'll find our new stuff there as well.
All right, so. Stay tuned later this month in April as we continue our April is the Cruelest Month, where we continue to review some of the worst sequels possible. Why did we do this? Because we are mad crazy. Because we just did Speed 2 Cruise Control, and I don't think I need to go get some aspirin. I really do.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
But we're going to leave it on this. Remember, folks, that the sequel is king.